Welcome to Bunta Vista, episode 189. My name is Andrew, and I'm here in a hospital overseeing a vaccine program. Now, why did they put me in charge of it, you might ask? Don't know. They could give the money to some public institutions, but instead they've been trying to find any kind of private partner they can, and apparently this includes podcasters. Just over here to my left, fumbling around, holding the vials in his hands, letting them warm up, trying to read the label of each one individually, and then just kind of sticking himself with a needle occasionally, it's Ben. How's it going?
I'm doing great. I'm not getting this virus.
No, that's true.
I've had like 27 shots of the vaccine at this point, and I'm feeling very strong.
Like getting stronger with each one, would you say?
I think so. Like, I feel sick.
But you are
like,
glowing.
I feel physically very, very bad, but I feel like that is a sign of strength. The more sick I am, the more the vaccine is working, therefore the more immune I will be to novel coronavirus.
Imagine, so if you get two shots and that adds up to you being, what is it, like 100% immune or like 90 something?
Yeah, we're doctors and you should definitely, that sounds correct, yes.
So, yeah, like if you keep layering them on, you're going to become, you know, 200, 250, 500% immune.
At this point, I am 1,350% immune to novel coronavirus.
That is great news. Huh. And just across the other side of the room, furtively stuffing as many of the vials as she can into her purse, it's Lucy.
Ah, Mamma Mia. Got me. The Italian bandit here to steal your AstraZeneca. Replacing it all with dry spaghetti noodles.
Oh, no.
This is a brilliant character work here. The prompt you were given was you're stealing vials. Immediately Italian.
Right. Italian. Right. Got it. Italian.
Pulled in something from the news.
It's
perfect.
Timely. It's from the news. That's how you do comedy, baby.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about it.
That's right. By the time this podcast comes out, no one will remember
the
what's
nation
going
of
on.
Italy will have gifted us 1 billion coronavirus shots.
There's like somebody at a dock, you know, it's like a bit of an official ceremony, and they're just about to sign the final form and give over access to all the shipping containers full of it, and just out of somebody's phone, they're going to hear, Mamma Mia, hold on.
Hold on. Hold on a second.
What's that noise? Oh, you offend me. Pack up the ship. And then they're gone again, and we have no more vaccine.
Pack up the ship?
Pack up the ship. Well, I haven't actually unpacked the ship yet. Put the petrol into the ship. Buy some donuts, maybe potato chips.
We are sailor at dawn.
I'm gonna get hungry on this boat ride. Oh, boy. And just in the other corner of this room, I should note there is a long line forming outside and people are getting agitated. But just in the opposite corner of the room, with his back to us, you know, for obvious reasons, the obvious reason is we can still kind of see that Theo has the lid off one of the vials and he's just trying to have a little sip.
Just a little taster. I don't want the whole thing.
What do you reckon it tastes like?
I'll close it up and... Ooh. Can't taste good, whatever it is.
I think it tastes like Mountain Dew Code Red.
And if it doesn't, they should make it.
Would you let anybody inject something into you if it was the color of Mountain Dew, the color of naked Mountain Dew, you know?
Yes.
Ooh.
I reckon there should be two colors for things. Red for stuff that comes out of you, and then bright green for anything that goes in, and that way they won't mix up the vials.
You guys ever seen a vitamin B12 shot?
Isn't red, green,
I have to
color
get those
blindness,
and they're very bright.
Like, how bright, what color?
Talking like fluoro green, and it makes your pee fluorescent yellow for a while.
That's what every time I have like a Barocca.
A Barocca, yeah.
It's the same shit.
And then and then, you know, 8 hours later or whatever, I am pissing and going, wow, have I never seen water in my life? And then I go, oh yeah.
Exactly.
It's not meant to be that color. Definitely had that with eating once as a teen, eating like several whole roast beetroot.
Oh.
Why were you doing this?
It was on the
table.
You
know how teens be always eating roast beetroot. Large servings.
I'm sorry for eating delicious roast vegetables.
I had exactly this happen to me this week, but I'm 30.
Yeah, and then you piss and you're like, oh no, one of my internal organs has ruptured and I'm bleeding to death on the inside. And then you go to your mother and say, Mummy.
There's a problem.
Mummy, I'm bleeding out of my pisser.
Problem in my pee-pee.
Yep. And she says, don't worry, me and your father have already had this entire conversation this morning.
And that's something fun you can pass on to your children.
Yeah. So, so on the vaccine thing, right, I said to Elder last night, now I wouldn't say this in public. I wouldn't put this out there online.
Uh-huh.
She went, uh-huh.
Or to an audience of however many we have.
Several.
To 10.
Mm-hmm. Audience of several.
A plurality of listeners.
But here we go anyway. So you know how we have the dastardly Italians stealing our precious vaccines, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people are mad about it.
Yep.
And
they're going to use it in their pasta sauce.
The best distribution method is the great big dish of pasta sauce that they make for like a Guinness World Record.
You're using the AstraZeneca vaccine to deglaze the pan, making my delicious bolognese.
So Australians are mad about it, and we also like to get mad about other things like, oh, when am I getting my vaccination? And they said the vaccination would be rolling out already, and it should be done by now. We should be clever enough to have it all done by now. And like, is it extremely dumb of me to be like, I don't really mind because we live in a country where... Luckily, like coronavirus is not running absolutely roughshod over the
absolutely.
Whole country.
Yeah,
absolutely, 100%. Like we shouldn't just get it because we've got a big briefcase of money to give to somebody to receive the like. What the fuck?
It's because we want to go to Bali. That's why
I'm saying this about Italy. Like,
well, yeah, like
it's a net good that they have the. That they have the shots instead of us. Like, it will literally result in more people being alive at the end of the day. We're not mm-hmm. even locked down. They just opened our office up. Like, you can just go to work now. And not for, like, American reasons where you sort of, like, go, oh, if the virus can't see me, I can't see it. Like, like actual good reasons. Like, holy shit, just let them have the shots. We don't really need them.
I'm glad that this is not like...
Calm down.
I'm glad this isn't some wildly stupid thing that I was thinking. Because when I think about like, you know, our friends in like the US and the UK, like places where large chunks of the government had just kind of given up on the idea of getting people...
Yeah, please give them the vaccine.
Yeah, the places where they're like, oh, half of the people are wearing 5 masks and have not been outside in 8 months. And the other half are all at spring break in Cancun.
Yeah, this is very adjacent to the Texas shit where, you know, the Texas government governor is like, you don't have to do anything at all anymore. You just pretend like it's not there. And a whole bunch of liberals on Twitter are like, oh, well, you guys shouldn't get any shots then and everyone in Texas should die. And
Michael Moore's out here posting.
Michael Moore doing this horse shit. Come on,
we'll
dude.
Keep our precious vaccine, you stupid fucking hicks.
Yeah, you live next to a guy that voted wrong. Well, you deserve to die. And you just go like, holy shit, what if we had some sort of like community? Like if going talking about the Italy thing, what if it was like we all work together to work on, you know, who needs it the most instead of just global capitalism deciding who has the most money for shots. What a load of shit.
Yeah.
Like, imagine the bonds you'd form between nations if you go, like, you guys clearly need it way more than us. Like, you took the first wave before we knew anything about anything, and just like completely wiped out your hospitals. People in there like slipping over wet spaghetti and stuff, like that scene from Jacob's Ladder. And you probably need that more than us, where we're just walking around living normal ass life. Well, other Australians are. I'm still living my life, but you know, like, come on.
Yeah.
You're not crazy, Andrew. This one thing I'm with with you.
Really fired up on this one.
What? Like, I know that like people in Melbourne and Sydney have been through like more aggressive lockdowns.
Yeah, I'm going to become one of those Victorians should get the vaccine first people. Sorry.
and yeah, like I don't know, I just think about it as like I know that there are people in like Melbourne who feel genuinely like who feel what's the word I'm looking for, like genuinely kind of traumatized by the lockdown stuff and the swinging back and forth and being told you got to stay home and you can't see anybody, all that kind of thing, but also that was part of what was done to keep the country not absolutely laden with coronavirus. And I look at it like the city that I live in, there hasn't been a case here for like a very long time, and everybody is going about their lives totally normally. Nobody wears a mask here, anywhere, ever, at any point. There's no kind of social distancing. My kids go to school. We go to like birthday parties on the weekend, all
people
that sort of stuff.
People are back to French kissing the bus driver to say thank you when they get off.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
As is the Canberran tradition.
Mm-hmm. You see the guys hopping off and they don't do that, and you just think,
God, man, you fucking idiot.
Of shit, who do you think you are?
You stick your tongue down that bus driver's throat right now.
Not cool to kiss the bus driver without eye contact, I think. Not cool. Just
very insincere.
Yeah,
he's done a great job. It's not easy.
But yeah, I compare that to all of the countries where they've like at a government level, they've just kind of given up on any sort of containment or suppression or anything, or in the case of the states where like said Theo, there's places like Texas where they are something like 48th or 49th in the list of like most vaccinated states. So they just have the absolute least number of people who are vaccinated, and Greg Abbott is like, fuck it, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, the solution to that is not vaccinating them. The solution to that is vaccinating the people that live there, and then pulling all of the state officials out of their state buildings, the government buildings, all that sort of stuff, and then you can insert a bunch of beeping there to make it clear that I'm making very specific death threats.
No, I think you should list them off just so I can get a sense of how long the beeps should be. And say your name and the date before you do it.
You want accurate censorship.
So there's this moment from the French Revolution where Robespierre, sort of like towards the end, the like 19th overthrow of the government occurs, and Robespierre tries to like off himself with a gun, and extremely big content warning for the next 20 seconds. Anyway, so he ends up like blowing half of his jaw off and surviving, and they like strap all of that back together with a bandage and like feed his head into the guillotine.
Oh, sucks.
And
to
I'm
be
just
Robespierre.
Saying that with
and that's just a
within,
fun history fact that you're mentioning.
That's just a fun, yeah. Fun history fact. And I'm just saying this alongside our previous discussion for simply no reason whatsoever.
I think the solution is that you get two repeater crossbows and you fill them full of the vaccine. And then you cruise around Texas, preferably out of the sunroof of a limo, firing the vaccine into everyone you see.
That sounds fun.
I figure you could probably save one vat of the green bubbling vaccine. And I'm sort of envisioning sort of a forced evolutionary virus sort of scenario here, yeah. Where we could see if shoving them in there makes them more virus than man. They might gain super sentience, the ability to levitate with their tentacles, or something less fun might happen. I'm just saying that the key to science is having a good hypothesis.
They might just melt like the guy in RoboCop who gets the toxic waste on him, you know? So basically we need like a public health event that is kind of like the purge.
Yeah, I'm thinking 50% waiting for your tetanus shots at outside the classroom in year 7. And 50% like public parading of bodies.
For the next 24 hours. It is legal to vaccinate anyone in your community.
Yes.
All class 3 vaccines are legal.
God damn.
I've painted my entire body in mud, Predator style. I'm going around with a blow dart just shooting syringes into people.
Just got a bandolier of shots.
Oh boy. Well, look.
Well, we've solved all those problems.
Yeah, fixed it.
What's next on the list?
Done. And of course, that means that we get to let the Italians have as much of the vaccine as they want, and they'll stop being mad at Lucy.
That'll make their nonnas so happy.
That's right.
My family, she's so big. I need so many vaccine. Oh.
And again, we want to save their lives.
Yes.
Yes.
The doctor comes out to the waiting room, says, Maria. And Mamma mia. Oh, boy. But hey,
we're like one of the good podcasts, right? Not one of the bad racist ones.
Lucy, what's the official policy on racism towards Italians?
It's always okay.
Yeah, it's not real.
Yep.
I saw it on a meme on the internet, so I think we're good.
We're all a kind of European, probably.
We are, sure are.
You know?
I definitely am. Have you seen...
Have you seen this motioning towards self? Lifting up shirt, temporarily blinding everybody in the room. Oh, boy. But what's this commotion going on down the hall? There's some cameras outside of an operating room, Ben. Time to read a story from CBS News about the event that is currently happening.
That was such a good segue that you did there. That was
and
really good.
The story also has already been published somehow. This is from CBS. The Medical Board of California said it would investigate a plastic surgeon who appeared in a video conference for his traffic violation trial while operating. Now, this could potentially be a really pro move.
Yeah.
I gotta
say. If
he's
pulling it off, wow.
I've just like be like, oh, I'm sorry. I forgot about my traffic violation because I was busy saving lives.
Exactly.
Well, what if...
Do you mind if I just dial into this? Oh, you're unconscious. You can't say no.
Dr. Scott Green appeared Thursday for his Sacramento Superior Court trial held virtually because of the coronavirus pandemic from an operating room, the Sacramento Bee reported. The state medical board said in a statement to CBS Sacramento that it would look into the incident and that it, quote, expects physicians to follow the standard of care when treating their patients.
Yep.
No playing words with friends with one hand and operating with the other. You know? That's just basic stuff. Green was dressed in surgical scrubs with a patient undergoing the procedure just out of view. The beeps of medical machinery can be heard in the background.
That's how you know that, like, real medical stuff is happening. The occasional beep. Oh, shit, he's a doctor.
Just need to be able to make the machine do the long beep for when you want to get off the call.
Oh, sorry, gotta take this.
I gotta get that. Quote, hello, Mr. Green, hi, are you available for trial? Asked a courtroom clerk as an officer summoned to appear in trial raised her eyebrows. It kind of looks like you're in an operating room right now.
Well, no, I need you to read that with the question mark that's in there.
It kind of looks like you're in an operating room right now. I am, sir, Green replied. Yes, I'm in an operating room right now. Yes, I'm available for trial. Go right ahead.
That's king shit.
Confidence gets you
that's
everywhere.
Right.
But what if like his excuse that he gave to the cop was, I have to get to surgery.
I have to get. Yeah. Mm,
Yeah, okay.
If this guy doesn't get a new face in the next 20 minutes.
That's right.
He's fucked.
I have an FBI agent here who needs to go undercover. I'm adjusting his hairline right now. I feel like I rewatched Face Off recently, and the entire swapping the faces on two guys with completely different shaped heads is very funny.
They imagined some very good face swapping technology.
They did. Also, John Travolta's body is a completely different shape to Nicolas Cage's. He's just yeah. a very.
Are you saying Face Off is unrealistic?
Not any of the world class gunplay that our friend John Woo put together.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of doves in hospitals, you know. But no, just get Malaysia in there. All I'm saying is very funny that they had a section that involved adjusting the hairline. It's very good. The clerk reminded Green the proceedings were being live streamed because traffic trials are required by law to be open to the public. And Green said, he understood. I think I know that already.
It seems like a lot of just this guy being like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes to everything you're saying.
He appeared to continue working with his head down while waiting for Court Commissioner Gary Link to enter the chamber. When Link appeared and saw the doctor on the screen, the judge hesitated to proceed with the trial out of concern for the welfare of the patient. Quote, I have another surgeon right here who's doing the surgery with me, so I can stand here and let them do the surgery also, Green said.
This is 100% doctor behavior. If you've ever worked with any doctors, they are like this all of the time, every day. Every day long, they're like, no, it's all good. Whatever I want to do is fine.
The judge said he didn't think it was appropriate.
What the fuck was that?
What was that?
I had a big mouthful of coffee and I have to swallow it. You finished talking too early, Theo, and...
Oh, I've just told the least interesting story of all time, and Andrew is now dead.
I was actually nodding, going,
okay.
Again, yep.
Podcast.
Ben, I'll let you take this one.
This is an audio medium.
Yep.
Yeah. So just go to DuckDuckGo images and search for man nodding. Oh, wait, you're going to need a video. Go to DuckDuckGo videos. Look for man nodding.
Or you might be able to search for... like a GIF, some kind of animated image of somebody nodding, you know?
Oh, like a thumbs up.
Handsome man
guy in the woods.
Oh, thank you. but yeah, anyway, did have a big mouthful of coffee. Totally agree. Those doctors, absolute cowboys. Those guys are wild.
I've never worked with doctors before. It's just sort of not in my... I might have served some beers to some doctors.
Mm.
Wouldn't I?
My mum worked for like a surgical supply, like medical company for years. So a lot of like, you know, dealing with surgeons and also a lot of like sitting in on actual procedures. Well, cause the level of training that they gave you at this company to do this sales job was like they got them to like operate on pigs and stuff. They go away for like 6 week training courses.
Yeah, no, they do that all the time.
And like in sales jobs.
Well, they have to. Oh, I don't know. Well, they have to test the stuff out on.
I think the idea is that you have to know, like in the level of detail, like how the equipment is being used. In a surgical context, to be able to like answer all questions competently and all that sort of stuff, and so she'd wind up sitting in on surgery and stuff. And she just one of the things that always sticks with me is her talking about like how rough doctors are and like surgery is.
Uh-huh.
Like, has anybody ever seen a video of people getting like breast implants put in?
Oh, nasty!
Oh, I have tons. I worked a breast cancer conference. It is
wild stuff. So
I have to like I set up the little laptop up the front and then I'm like, I'm not going to look at the screen for the next 45 minutes. If you need me, just come and tap me on the shoulder in the hallway. And I will blindly lead myself towards the HDMI cable.
I'll be looking at the floor.
I did the exact same thing when we were screening Human Centipede 2 at the cinema I worked at. Putting that on, then I'm getting the fuck out of there. No, thank you.
My dad is also a massive coward. I love you, Dad. For blood. And which is a shame because he's also a medical professional. And the very first surgery that he witnessed as a radiographer, he walked in and immediately there was like a spurt of blood that hit the wall behind him, and he woke up on the floor.
Oh man. Yeah. So Mum would have to watch these procedures and stuff. She would watch some of them in theaters, but also would just have videotapes of them. So I would come home from school quite regularly and Mum would be on the couch taking notes with a full screen video of a hysterectomy.
Oh, it's so upsetting. Happening. I can't watch surgery things. Very upsetting. Not for me.
But yeah, the one that sticks with me is when she was talking about when they need to operate on something inside your abdominal cavity, you know, and they do the full incision down the front of you kind of thing. And she was like, yeah, what they do is they basically get a big bucket and they just scoop out all your intestines and stuff and just slop them in there.
Just take them out and put them back in.
Yeah, they don't disconnect them, obviously, but they pull them out, they slop them in there, and then they root around inside and they do their business. And when they're done, they just tip the bucket back in.
And it just doesn't seem right.
Well, yeah, so they tip it all back in and then your body just rearranges your long intestine back into the shape that it sits in inside your body.
It's like an extension cable. As long as you've got both ends there and there's no knots in the length of it,
it's fine.
You're good to plug a Bosch drill into that bad boy and get drilling.
Imagine a nice long extension cable and when you just threw it into the corner of the garage, it just looped itself
just
up all
wiggled
nice
its
and
way.
Tidy. That'd be so
That'd be
good.
Great. I don't like knowing what's going on inside my body. It's like the ocean, you know? It's fine. It's there. It's functioning. Yeah. I don't want to think about it or see it.
Not my business.
Not my business.
You married a marine biologist.
I did.
Don't want to know what's happening in the ocean.
Don't talk to me about your job. It's disgusting.
Yeah, I got my appendix out whenever the fuck that was. Last year?
Yep.
Sounds right.
2015,
which
I think.
Which is apparently something that's mainly for young people, but I embarrassed myself by having my appendix explode. But that was keyhole surgery. That was laparoscopic surgery with these three small incisions where they took out some very small organ. You don't even need it anyway. And you wake up after that and try to walk around and it's fuck this. This hurts very badly. And that's not one of the ones where it's hey, we put in some implants or did some liposuction or whatever. And it involves sticking a vacuum under your skin and just raking it around. Like you're trying to get a stubborn stain off the bottom of a pot in the sink, you know? They really put elbow grease into it, is what I'm saying.
They sure do.
The judge said he didn't think it was appropriate to conduct trial under the circumstances. He told Green he'd rather set a new date for trial, quote, when you're not actively involved or participating and attending to the needs of a patient. Green apologized. Sorry, sometimes surgery doesn't always go as, he said before the judge interrupted him.
Good Lord.
It happens. We want to keep people healthy. We want to keep them alive. That's important. Thank
sure
you, Judge.
Is.
This
Thank
man,
you.
Again, the doctor is a plastic surgeon. Just reiterating that point.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah.
Well, then.
So any danger he has created himself. If there's any, public health concern, it was him that took the face off the person
That's
first
right.
and is struggling to reattach
Maybe he's
the
just
face.
Putting in a nice big set of jugs, you know?
Maybe
and
he's,
that
maybe.
Is his right. He should be focusing on that.
If I do not finalize this woman's Brazilian butt lift, who knows what could happen? A call seeking comment from Green has not been returned.
Too busy.
Too busy doing two surgeries at once.
Yeah, a reporter calls him and he answers, hello. Beep. Beep.
Beep, 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 beep.
Gotta go. Right with you. Can you hold on for 1 minute? Speaking of people who may or may not be doctors.
For all we know.
If you asked him, he may well say yes.
This is a new story I didn't know I really needed in 2021.
Yep. You know, sometimes there's too much new stuff happening all the time.
A little nostalgia, a little throwback.
Yeah.
And then they reboot a franchise that you're just not expecting.
It's like, play the hits, you know?
It's like the hits. Blade Runner doesn't need a sequel, but boy howdy was Blade Runner 2049 good.
Mm, so true.
Ben,
that might have been the last good thing to happen.
It might be.
Name a good thing that happened after Blade Runner.
Son was born.
Yeah. Guess you got a point.
Ben, I think I have some kind of psychological issue where I've been unable to watch the Blade Runner sequel.
You should just...
That is,
just do it.
I keep going, it's probably good, and then I don't watch it.
You should
I haven't
just
seen it.
Get fucking blazed out of your mind. Sit down and watch all 4.5 hours or however long it is of just absolute fucking beauty.
Have you got that thing where you can't watch a movie that you think is actually going to be like good in a good way, because then you might have to like think about whether or not you liked it, whether it stacked up to expectations and all that sort of stuff. So instead you watch Music by Sia, which you chose to watch instead of a good film?
Probably.
I mean, what we're really saying is you watched Music by Sia instead of Blade Runner 2049. You had a choice.
Not instead of. I did.
You had a choice. You could have watched anything when you sat down on that couch.
If this were the old days, you're saying I would have been standing in a DVD rental store.
Yep.
Renting Music
by
Sia
in one hand, Blade Runner 2049 in the other.
And then, like, every time an employee walks past, you're like, have you seen these? These any good? Everyone's pointing to Blade Runner 2049. And you're just being like,
Yeah, but I loved Sia in the My Little Pony movie, so...
Boy. Anyways, Nelly Yoa.
Nelly motherfucking Yoa is back. This is a strange man who... I feel that his story probably became sadder the longer it went on.
Yes.
But it did go on, and we did talk about it in episodes 29, 45, 67, and 103.
Wow, that's a long time ago.
That's some lotto numbers. This man is consistently described in the media as a serial fabulist. And I believe I've also seen him described as a serial fantasist.
I like both.
Yeah.
One makes him sound like he writes a long series of Dragonlance novels, and the other makes it sound like he's a magician.
The other one makes him sound like Willy Wonka.
He could be any of these things. None of us know.
I will say, I do think that a term like serial fabulist is more appropriate for Nelly than, say, the more commonly applied compulsive liar. Compulsive liar says to me that somebody can't stop themselves from lying about, like, mundane things.
Mm.
Yeah. Ask him what color the sky is and he'll say pink.
Yeah, whereas...
He'll say it's bronze.
Whereas Nelly Yo, if you ask him what color the sky is, he says blue. And also, my shoulders hold it up.
We say, what color is...
It's up there because of me.
Say, what color is the sky? He'll say, well, it's a slightly different shade of blue when you are hanging out on top of the Burj Khalifa with the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, as I was doing last week. So, yeah, the long litany of stories about this strange, strange man. It involved things like... So he was in the media at one point talking about how he, like, did lots of help in the community to, like, resolve violence between Sudanese gangs. That was the original thing, wasn't it? Remember the Apex gang?
Now, that's the Apex gang? That is a throwback. That's a fun one.
Wow. Yep, the Apex gang, the terrifying hordes of African teen gang members that were overrunning Melbourne. And then I guess at some point that just sort of resolved itself. It was definitely...
Well, they had to... There's a curfew now.
It was definitely real. It was definitely real.
Yeah. And then Nelly Yoa kind of landed in the Herald Sun's lap in such a way that, like, many kind of, like, tokenized people of color or marginalized people, like, would in that he was like, yes, that thing is very real, but I'm teaching them soccer.
I'm pretty sure it was actually The Age that ran this story.
The Age, there you go.
The
I just default to blaming the Herald Sun.
Yeah, they're the least racist of the big newspapers, but not racist.
The least racist of the three big racism newspapers. Yeah, and then so the soccer thing also led to him saying, oh, yeah, I have totally been invited to, like, play for an English Premier League team. I feel like there was some other very good stuff in there, claimed to be nominated for Australian of the Year.
He snuck into the Brownlow Awards, I think.
Yep.
Is that the AFL one? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He snuck in because he was also claiming that he was, like, trying out for AFL teams and they were all fighting over him at some point. And then he snuck into the Brownlow Awards and somebody said, who are you? And he went and hid in a toilet until he eventually emerged. They threw him out. So, yeah, basically makes up a lot of stuff. And then when people write about the stuff that he made up in the paper, he sends them things saying, hey, I'm going to sue you. I have all the evidence that this is true. And they say, sure, show me some. And he goes, well, beep, beep, beep. Got to go. I'm doing life-saving surgery. I'm Nelly Yoa. So, you know, you can go back to episodes 29, 45, 67, 103 to see the saga of Nelly Yoa playing out. Now... unbeknownst to us, while all of the Victorian government quarantine staff in hotels debacle stuff has been happening, we saw a story that was like, hey, one of these people who's been hired to work quarantine is known convicted perjurer, Nelly Yoa. And I believe we all collectively went, huh?
Huh?
Huh? The Victorian government has ordered a staffing review after a self-promoting perjurer who was yesterday convicted of assault was hired to work in the state's hotel quarantine system. Nelly Yoa rose to prominence in 2018 and 2019 over a series of discredited public claims, from being a South Sudanese youth mentor to trialing with top-level soccer clubs to having Usain Bolt attend the birth of one of his children.
Oh, it's so
such
good.
A good lie. That's an extraordinarily good lie.
Well, there's no way to ask Usain Bolt things.
Just in terms of, like, a brag to have. You'd just hear that and you would not know what to do with that information. You'd be like, oh.
Oh, okay.
All right. Cool.
I definitely think a lot of his claims are kind of in a sort of good sweet spot. Where they're like they're pretty sort of outlandish, but not so outlandish that the average person just can't kind of go, oh, I guess so.
And then you get to Usain Bolt, was it the birth of my child?
Well, how does an ordinary person process or disprove that?
I guess you can't.
He had a photo of him with Usain Bolt from when they were both at the same nightclub one time,
okay.
Which I believe was sort of planted the seed of my very close friend, Usain Bolt.
Usain Bolt.
Actually delivered my child.
Very, very fast delivery. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a lot of these things are sort of, oh, you know, I've played sport for a long time and I did a trial for like, an English Premier League club, be like, oh, I guess I just kind of have to take your word for that. Where it stops kind of working is as soon as a reporter hears this and they just phone the club and say, hey, Have you ever offered a very expensive contract to someone named Nelly Yoa and they say, who the fuck are you talking about? Or you call Usain Bolt's manager and say, hey, we have some questions about his very close personal friend Nelly Yoa, and they say, who the fuck are you talking about?
But what's he been up to lately?
He has been facing the Ballarat Magistrates Court on Tuesday, where he pleaded guilty to unlawful assault and was fined $3,000. Not great.
Not ideal.
He had previously been found guilty of perjury and making a false statement to police. Also, not great. In Parliament, opposition leader Michael O'Brien questioned the state government on how it could justify employing a convicted criminal to manage highly sensitive personal information of Victorians. It's actually a decent question.
Oh, amazing.
Government Services Minister Danny Pearson said the man was employed by COVID-19 Quarantine Victoria, CQV, and did some training, but did not work a shift. According to News Corp, Yoa's lawyer Hazel Wally told the Ballarat Magistrates Court that he was hired by the Department of Justice to work in hotel quarantine facilities on a 12-month contract in December. It is understood Yoa was training as a resident support officer, a job with advertised duties such as escorting returned travellers to hotels, temperature checking, and delivering parcels to rooms. Yoa has shockingly declined to comment.
That's not his style. Usually, he responds with extraordinarily long rebuttals.
That's true.
Hmm.
Wouldn't be my first choice to be working in the hotel quarantine system.
Imagine the story you would get about why your parcel didn't arrive. You
know? It'd be so good.
Hey, somebody sent me a PlayStation 5 while I'm stuck in quarantine. Any word on that?
Any idea?
Oh. Oh, dear. Poor Nelly. That man can't catch a break.
He sure can't.
Or he's caught too many breaks. Either of those things.
Mm.
Must be kind of weird to just not be able to stop lying all the time.
Must be fun, though. I feel like I'd have much more fun that way. Maybe I'll give it a go.
What sort of lies are we talking? Where are you going to start? What scale?
I don't know. I think just telling really fanciful lies would be really fun. Like saying that you're friends with celebrities and stuff like that. I'm going to start telling people I'm on the Bunta Vista podcast, which is very popular and cool.
We have millions of listeners and millions of dollars.
That is both true. Both very true. I'm rich. I don't know about you guys.
I'm going to tell people I'm an orthodontist.
Just for no reason?
It'd be fun to look like me and tell people that you're an orthodontist.
That you're an orthodontist?
Are you sure? You sure you're an orthodontist? Oh, absolutely. Teeth. Love them. Can't get enough of them.
Know all about them. Think about them a lot.
I'm daydreaming about teeth right now. I'm barely paying attention to the conversation.
I would tell people that chiropractors are real doctors.
They trick you by sounding real. Like, it's one of, like, chiropractor as a word. I'm like, well, that must be, that sounds medical. It's not.
It sounds like a medical word. That's right. It's all fake. It's not real. It's all fake.
Sounds pretty legit.
Feels good when someone cracks you back, though.
Oh, my God.
It feels right. So, maybe there's something to it.
I'm looking for a small person to walk on my back. Theo, we'll add that to the list of things we can do when we hang out.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I crack Eleanor's back. Sometimes. And I hadn't done it for a very long time. And she was like, I feel like my back needs cracking. And I did it the other day. And it sounded like about 70 knuckles popping at once.
Oh, God.
It was horrifying. So many cracks. And she loves that shit. And she can still walk. So maybe chiropractors are real. You know?
Maybe you are a chiropractor. Maybe that sounds
I am.
Of it.
Yeah. I'm as much a chiropractor as anyone else is. Oh, chiropracting, a real pseudoscience. Ben, what's going on in the world of science? Is there perhaps, would you like to do a little bit of talking while I remember that I meant to do the theme for this? Don't worry, I found it.
You shall see hail fall from a clear sky and burn as fire upon the ground.
You shall see darkness cover Egypt when the sun climbs high to noon. And you shall know that God is God. And bow down to his will.
What's that segment, Ben?
That is, of course, the theme for Omen's Importance. I was really hoping you were going to read this story because there's a bunch of names in there that look really hard to pronounce, but it looks like it's going to be me.
Well, sucks to be you, pal.
This is a press release from Tel Aviv University. A robot able to hear through the ear of a locust.
No.
I don't like that at all.
No.
Couldn't have chosen a more biblical animal to do this with. Researchers at Tel Aviv University report they have successfully connected the ear of a dead locust to a robot that receives the ear's electrical signals and responds accordingly. The result is extraordinary. When the researchers clap once, the locust's ear hears the sound and the robot moves forward. When the researchers clap twice, the robot moves backwards. They wired a clapper to a robot through the ear of a dead locust.
We already have clappers. You don't need to involve a locust ear in the...
Maybe this is what we need to bring the clapper back. I feel like the clapper went out of fashion. Kids these days probably don't even know about the clapper.
They probably don't.
Are they just using this as like a little bit of like material that vibrates when... Like, are they just using it like a normal microphone?
I mean, it sounds like... Yes. Yeah, more or less. But...
We have microphones.
Yeah, but they're not made of locust parts.
All right.
Also, the clapper part seems unnecessary. You could have just made, like... You could have just...
thing that beeps.
Plugged that into Audacity and been like, oh, there we go, it's recorded the clap. But instead, they had to move a robot with it. Very strange.
I think it's solely so that you can say, check out this spooky robot.
Locust
corpse parts. I made a Frankenstein, basically. I made an insect Frankenstein.
The interdisciplinary study was led by Idan Fischel, a joint master student under the joint supervision of Dr. Ben M. There's so many names in here. Oh, good Lord, this paragraph is a nightmare.
We can wait.
No, that's
we
fine.
Can
we're
wait.
Just going to move past this one.
Yeah, no,
that's
who
yeah,
we
are. Yeah, no, it's literally, it's a whole paragraph of it just keeps going. The researchers explained that at the beginning of the study, they sought to examine how the advantages of biological systems could be integrated into technological systems and how the senses of dead locust could be used as sensors for a robot. Now, they're using, this is sensors and sensors. So, the senses of a dead locust for the sensors of a robot.
But we have a normal accent where those words sound the same.
Sensors and sensors.
Sensors.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Sensors.
Perfect.
I hope I don't get censored for talking about the sensors of the sensors.
Huh? You know? Yep. That sounds great. We chose the sense of hearing because it can be easily compared to existing technologies. In contrast to the sense of smell, for example, where the challenge is much greater, says... I'm going to call him Dr. Ben. Our task was to replace the robot's electronic microphone with a dead insect's ear, using the ear's ability to detect the electrical signals from the environment, in this case vibrations in the air, and using a special chip to convert the insect input to that of the robot.
An insect to electricity chip.
Yeah, a special chip, which I'm special sure chip. Is just like a Raspberry Pi that they've got hooked up to it.
At least just call this a locust Frankenstein, like... Let's get to it. Let's not dance around it.
Cyborg locust.
Cyborg locust.
To carry out this unique and unconventional task, the interdisciplinary team faced a number of challenges. In the first stage, the researchers built a robot capable of responding to signals it receives from the environment. Then, in a multidisciplinary collaboration, how is that different from interdisciplinary?
I feel like inter is maybe just two disciplines. Multi might be many disciplines.
That sounds true.
Perhaps.
Interdisciplinary is relating to more than one branch of knowledge.
And multidisciplinary. Anyway, so the interdisciplinary team in a multidisciplinary collaboration were able to isolate and characterize the dead locust ear and keep it alive. That is, functional long enough to successfully connect it to the robot. In the final stage, the researchers succeeded in finding a way to pick up the signals received by the locust ear in a way that could be used by the robot. At the end of the process, the robot was able to hear the sounds and respond accordingly. Professor Ayali's laboratory has extensive experience working with locusts, and they have developed the skills to isolate and characterize the ear, explains Dr. Ben.
So,
yep.
It's right there on the side.
Did they go, okay, well, we need to make a robot here, and we're mostly just big locust guys here.
It seems like it. What have you guys got on hand?
What have we got here? We got locusts.
These fucking locusts. Professor Yeovil's laboratory built the robot and developed code that enables the robot to respond to electrical auditory signals. A clapper. You invented the clapper.
If you're going to keep referring to it, does someone want to explain to any young people what the clapper is?
Oh, so imagine if your light switch was powered by you clapping. That's the clapper.
Imagine, so you don't have to get out of bed.
Imagine if your light switch was hooked up to a locust's ear.
Now we're talking. And you're hearing through a locust.
My laboratory has developed a special device, ear on a chip. Now that is ear-on-a-chip. Ear on a chip. That is the name of the device that they have invented.
This guy's a terrible
with
names.
This is so bad. Also, that's 100% like a bad British food. I'm some ear on a chip.
Ear on a chip. Just call it cyber ear and be done with it, you know?
Ear on a chip allows the ear to be kept alive throughout the experiment by supplying oxygen and food to the organ while allowing the electrical signals to be taken out of the locust's ear and amplified and transmitted to the robot. So it's a living locust ear that's like, it's a brain in a jar situation, but it's an ear on a chip.
Yeah, but they have to like tip some fish food in there every day.
Yep. In general.
And on weekends, they all die.
Oh, fuck, I forgot to feed my locust ears. You go away for a long weekend, come back.
I don't like that.
There's one of those little, what are the things you type into and then you print out and it's got the little text? Label.
Label maker?
Label maker. My brain's not good. All right. I got one of those little label maker stickers under the light switch. Have you fed the locust ears? Question mark.
It's like one of those passive aggressive like office notes where it's been like highlighted, like quadruple underlined.
Somebody.
Look, we're all adults. We all have to share the locust ears. Make sure you feed them.
Your mum's not here to feed your locust ears.
Your mother doesn't work here. Feed your own locust ear.
In general, biological systems have a huge advantage over technological systems, both in terms of sensitivity and in terms of energy consumption. This initiative of Tel Aviv University researchers opens the door to sensory integrations between robots and insects. Dope. And may make much more cumbersome and expensive developments in the field of robotics redundant. This is good. This is a technology path I want to go down, is combining robots and insects.
I feel like insects are the last kind of animal that I want to mix with a robot.
Sharks. Jellyfish.
Octopuses. I mean,
they're going to get electrocuted down there. That's fine.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's true. We're safe.
We're safe from them. Robot locusts. Sounds horrifying.
Like, we can already see what happened when they tried to make a robot version of a dog.
Well, they strapped a gun to it, and now it's patrolling the streets.
It's just this horrible little fucking thing. No, I'm talking about the Boston Dynamics big dog.
You're not talking about the competitor to the Furby, the toy Poochie.
I was thinking about Poochie.
Not presently. I'm not currently talking about Poochie.
So that's the most prominent
at this
robot
point in time
dog I can think of. If you're under the age of 20, Google Poochie. Check that shit out. It fucking sucks so bad.
I wanted one so bad. I'm so glad my mum never got me one.
My sister had one. It was fucking awful. It didn't do anything. It wasn't a real robot at all.
It's not. It does nothing. Useless.
For the record, if you are going to Google this, it is spelled P-O-O hyphen C-H-I.
Is that true?
Oh, Poochie.
Yeah. Poochie.
Poo is in
like the energy.
And chi is in life force, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Shit force.
Why did they spell
that
it that
an
way?
Absolute
wait,
dog
hang on. Poo hyphen chi or P-O-O-C-H-I or P-O-O-C-H-I-E. One of the first generations of RoboPet toys. And one of the last as well. There was that
kind of gave up on that.
That weird
they couldn't
gorilla
make it
one?
A thing.
Had the big forearms like Hellboy.
Oh, I don't know about that one. Mm. No.
Yeah.
I don't like any of these things.
It should be understood that biological systems expend negligible energy compared to electronic systems. They are miniature and therefore also extremely economical and efficient. For the sake of comparison, a laptop consumes about 100 watts per hour, while the human brain consumes about 20 watts a day. About 5 in my case, I reckon.
Mm. And also, now he's fucked up. He's fucked up right here. He's a crank.
You want to...
Doesn't know what he's talking about.
Want to go into detail there, Theo?
100%. Watts is an instantaneous measure of power. You don't consume 100 watts per hour or 20 watts per any time period. It's just 100 watts, 20 watts. So, and I mean, if you look at your laptop charger, it's 100 watts. I looked it up. The brain does consume 20 watts, but that's not per day. That's just, it's just 20 watts. Mm-hmm. So, this man who is running a lab for... sensors like robot sensors and that sort of thing does not know what a watt is, the basic measure of power, which is joules per second.
I don't think this guy's a scientist at all. I think this is this a, guy I is, think he's making shit up.
Just a locust
guy. Just a locust guy. Stick to your lane here. Man.
Can you sew this onto a robot for me real quick?
All right.
Maybe he's...
Will I get my thesis out of it? Yeah.
He might be the locust guy, not the robot guy.
Yeah. Anytime that you read this shit, by the way, it's either A, to complete someone's thesis, either, so this is for a master's student, so a joint master's student under the joint supervision of some guys, right? So it's a master's thesis, or they're trying to get funding to continue sewing locust ears on something like... The reason they had to put it on a robot is because people don't want to see an LED light up. I mean, the thing of coding a robot to go backwards and forwards is a lazy afternoon's amount of work. The ear thing, probably more work than it's worth.
To start with, but the locust ear is very small.
It's very small.
Finding that thing, that'll take you ages.
Anyway. We have to keep doing this so, like, people can complete their education and stuff. This is why this... You have to just accept that when you get to the close to the end of your education, they make you do a fucking thing. And you've got to make up a thing to do, and you go... And then occasionally, someone goes, oh, that's cool, and they put it in the university paper with a thing that makes it clear that nobody knows what they're talking about. So that's very cool. Education rules. Love academia.
It's even cooler that in Australian universities now, the government is like, we will only fund research if it will make a specific amount of money. Yeah.
Or a bomb.
That's the only reason.
Yeah, if you can use it to terrorize a Middle Eastern country, or we can hock it overseas, then we're on board.
So, if we put this locust ear on the outside of the rocket and attune it to the particular frequency that the hospital machines beep at in Yemen...
Oh, no.
We might get some funding
for that.
That's
exactly what this thing is. It hears the beep. And then it steps forward using the body that it's in.
Oh, God.
To get the bomb closer to hospitals.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. What have we created?
What have you done?
It'll take like weeks to get there, but slowly and surely it will arrive eventually.
You know how in the Manhattan Project or whatever, you know, they had these big things that are like made to scientific processes to make bombs, and they would just set aside hectares in the desert of like these huge warehouses, you know, doing whatever they need, refining nuclear material, doing whatever. Except there's somewhere in Israel where now suddenly the Israeli government is building gigantic warehouses full of locusts so they can harvest the ears and put them on little bombs. And the Americans are paying them $4 billion to do
this. We should stop doing science. I think we've done enough.
We've worked out. We've gotten down to quarks. And that's about all we need to know.
Okay, what about if you halve one of those?
You can't.
Okay, well, what if you do?
It's too small.
Yep. What if you could?
We've not got a knife small enough yet.
Yeah, everything scientific turned out pretty bad. Like, we figured out how to fly and go to other places, and it just kind of just destroyed. Yeah,
predominantly we worked out ways to put CO2 into the air. That's it. We made industry chuck some carbon dioxide up in that bad boy. Made some cars. Oh, you better believe that's some CO2, baby. We made some some planes, which are fun. They're cool.
Oh, we all love planes.
And now we're putting art on the blockchain. I
tried to read one article about this shit. And so now to buy a fucking
Kings of Leon album, you have to idle a semi-trailer in the desert for 4 days.
I didn't even try understanding that.
For fucking reason.
I saw the article and I was like, nah.
And all the Bitcoin freaks are like, this will make energy more efficient. When is that happening? When is that going to happen?
I did see that exact conversation play out. Let me start off by saying, I want my tokens fungible.
Mm. Hey, right? Can you funge that token for me? Sorry, buddy. Clearly non-fungible.
Tapping
a sign.
I guess I don't really actually want to understand this, and I don't want to explain it to me in any way, but like the idea of these
and here I go.
NFT artworks is that it's yours. You get it, and then it's yours.
But everybody
and this
else
is a new fucking concept.
Yeah, no, but now it's on the blockchain, and that's
Theo. Can I ask
a
question?
Sure, please.
The answer is going to upset me. So have you seen the what the fuck is it called? The NBA shots
where there's
thing?
Like a
I don't know a lot about it, but go on.
If it's
on the blockchain, I can tell you it's very dumb, and it involves All right. What are we talking about?
So I've seen people posting like videos of themselves opening these things called Top Shot made by NBA, right? And basically it's a thing where you open it on your phone and it's like a collector's card kind of thing, but it's digital and on the blockchain and stupid and you pay money for it. And then like once you paid money for it, you open it up on your phone and it's like, check out this 6-second clip of someone in the NBA doing a dunk that you can just watch on YouTube.
But it's yours. You bought it.
So I'm looking at the website here and it says, own the best moments from NBA history. NBA fans from around the world collecting Top Shot moments with over $200 million plus in US dollar sales across rookies, vets, and rising star players. Just absolutely absurd. So basically the NBA has done this thing where they have said, oh, we're going to do like fucking blockchained collectible snippets of dunks and stuff, and then you own that thing. I guess like I have the same issue as you here, Ben, clearly, which is the idea of we have made a digital asset that is unique so that you can express some form of ownership over something that is like
needlessly unique ownership as well, which is weird. Like, you wouldn't lose anything if someone else could look at the piece of art that you had, you know?
But you own
it's not
that.
Like you've got a Rembrandt in your house and then someone is like, hey, I want to look at this as well, and they take it out of your house and put it in their house for a while. Like, you can have a piece of art. I don't get it. I don't understand any of this. I think it's
it's not even like having an original painting and then other people have prints of the painting, which doesn't take away anything from your physical ownership of a painting. In this case though, other people can have digital copies of the thing that you have that also isn't physical.
It's so fucking stupid. And let's just be clear, the important and intractable part of this entire process is the idling of the semi-trailers.
Yes.
Right? So we need to do that. We need to make a room very, very hot to solve some mathematical problems for that proof of ownership. It is part and parcel of it. It is the entire process, right? So at the end that you pops out and says, this was really hard to do, so it proves that you own this, right? Like, you can't get rid of that part.
So it's real.
So it's literally taking things that already exist that can be just freely thing and going, you know, we can make some money by assigning ownership to different parts, like one per dunk in the NBA's case. And we do this by by providing, they call it proof of work, which is, again, they have to come up with some answer to a mathematical problem, which is technically it's hashing a SHA 256 thing, but basically it's just running maths until they come up with an answer that's better than the last one, and that takes a huge amount of energy, which again we're just fucking firing off into the sky at the most sensitive part in history. In human history, I'd say, for, you know, environmental concerns. And so that at the end, the NBA can sell this to make a little bit of money and give proof of ownership over something that is already freely tradable. So we are converting the environment directly into money for people that already have billions of dollars. That is what the blockchain exists for.
We have
for.
Actually found a way of doing this that doesn't involve the sort of very emissions heavy computational process, and that is you have to wade into coastal waters and choke a leatherback turtle with your bare hands. And if you just show a photo that you have killed that turtle, yeah,
that's right.
Then you get a
one leatherback turtle, one NBA dunk.
The old fashioned way.
This is what we used to do. We need to get back to the old ways.
I saw this exact conversation that you're describing play out in real time the other day, Theo, which was somebody talking about, hey, everybody, as of this date, you know, whatever the fuck the number was, $1.5 trillion has been like generated and spent without the use of banks through Bitcoin. And all these people were like, without banks, huh? How did you do anything with the money at the end?
And, well, it's an artifact. We're in a transitionary period from, I guess, all of human history up until now into the Bitcoin era. And there's just, the banks are just there until we sort this whole Bitcoin thing out.
And and you know, as usual, people post the studies that show the amount of emissions that are generated by doing this stuff. And it's like, yeah, in order to generate this much money, you have to use the same amount of emissions that all of Spain uses in a year. And it's absolutely absurd. And then somebody weighs in with what you were talking about. Yeah, but they've actually, Ethereum is working on ways to make the generation of their stuff.
Again,
more.
It doesn't put the CO2 back in the ground. And also, we already have payment processors that don't use an absolute shit ton of energy. And the concept that we're going to get more efficient energy generation from Bitcoin and Ethereum as opposed to,
not having to use energy generation to make $5.
Exactly. Like the most efficient energy is the ones that we don't generate. But also, like, that shit like smelting aluminium isn't already putting a massive, like, downwards pressure on electricity prices. Like, the fact that electricity prices are incredibly political already. Like, there is already more downward pressure on electricity prices than just about any other good in the entire world, right? Like, how we don't fucking talk about like the price of milk anymore, right? We've accepted that that's $2. Wherever you are, it's $2 for milk. That's it, right? But like every fucking day we've got to talk about the price of power. Like, so what do they expect that Bitcoin is doing to make power more efficient than like all of the rest of the other shit is not already doing? It's nothing. Bitcoin is for nerds that are dumb.
I agree.
But like the other issue with the making it more efficient from what it currently is, which is hugely inefficient, like monstrously inefficient.
By design.
Is that also kind of presupposes the idea that by like making it more efficient will be part of the process of having a massive uptake in everyone else in the world using that as their way of generating money?
We've made it twice as efficient, which you won't, and now twice as many people are using it, which arrives us back in exactly the same spot. It's fucked. We should finish this story.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I got like four sentences.
You gotta
wrap it up then.
Nature is much more advanced than we are, so we should use it. The principle we have demonstrated can be used and applied to other senses, such as smell, sight, and touch. Yeah, they could smell a hospital.
So we're envisioning locust nose, locust eyes, and grubby little locust hands.
You maybe mount all that on a locust body.
Oh, a locust body. Put that back all together in one package.
For example, some animals have amazing abilities to detect explosives or drugs. The creation of a robot with a biological nose could help us preserve human life and identify criminals in a way that is not possible today. Mm-hmm.
There it is. Yep. There it is. And we know who they're talking about there. The entire criminal race that we keep in our backyard for reasons that we will not be led on or criticized for. Right.
Some animals know how to detect diseases. Mm. Others can sense earthquakes. Others can smell Palestinian. No, he doesn't say that. the sky is the limit.
Just leave it alone.
Leave nature alone.
Please.
Your white coat off. Fold it neatly. Mm-hmm. Walk out of the office and go become a fitter and turner.
Yep.
That's what's up. That's the policy of this.
That's what's up.
That's what's up.
Wander into the forests and commune with it by becoming a fitter and turner.
That thing that you can totally do while living
so
in the forest.
I feel so at peace with these trees.
It's just me, the trees, my big old smelter. Dong dong.
Me, the trees, and this series of pipes that I'm aimlessly connecting together and extending. Wrapping it around through all the trees. It's a beautiful image. And that is where we're going to leave it for the week. Sorry for talking to Theo about the blockchain.
Theo, thank you for being...
Give another 6 months got their and thing. Ask me again.
Yep. You understand things. We have other stuff going on.
Yep. You understand things. We can't say names. We can't do names good.
Oh, I can't do names good. All words good either.
Andrew likes to talk about movies, and I will not take any shred of criticism about my own habits. So, let's wrap it up.
Okay. Oh, Mamma Mia. That's a spicy meatball. See you next week, everybody.
Ciao.
Buonanotte.